Let's open Hebrew 9, verses 11 and 12. But Christ being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we know that you are real. We know that you are alive. We know that you gave us promise. And we are sure of that you are faithful to your promises. Lord, you saved us because you decided. You saved us because of your grace. And now we have this promise that we will see you one day. And that will be only and only by your power. Lord, we pray that you prepare us for that moment and give us understanding that how we can live for you until that moment we see you. Lord, we lift up this meeting and this Bible message. I don't want to preach because I don't know how to preach, Lord. Doesn't matter what I think or what I say, I pray that it will be only from you. Please, Lord, you preach this message to us and you open our minds to not only see those words but understand it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. In Hebrews 9, 11 and 12, we read about something that happened only once. It took place only and only once. And we take our theme from the last part of verse 11. Yes, sorry, I couldn't see. Yes, the last part of verse 12, which is, Jesus entered in once into the holy place. This is the theme of this message. Jesus entered once into the holy place. As I said, it took place only once. And it's impossible to get it wrong. And we're going to learn about that exactly when this happened. But Christ being come and high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. When I read the Bible, these two verses was a little bit different for me. I was confused the first time when I was reading it. And we know God is not the author of confusion. So I was confused because of my own lack of knowledge about these verses. But when I was studying it, I learned more. And the reason is we should study the word of truth, not only reading it like a newspaper. So now I have a question about the verses I just read. when this happened, if we say it was during the earthly ministry of Jesus, it's a broad answer, it's a wide answer, but we need a specific answer for this. Did it happen before the cross or after the cross? As it says in the middle part of verse 12, it says, he entered in once into the holy place. And in four gospel accounts before the cross, there is not even once. It says, Jesus entered into the holy place or inside the temple. And not even after the cross. And the reason is Jews didn't accept Christ as their high priest. That's why he wasn't allowed to enter to the holy place as a priest. So he wasn't allowed. But at the last part of verse 11, it says, that is to say, not of this building, meaning not of this creation. The tabernacle that is mentioned in Hebrews 9, 11, and 12 is not of this building, not of this world. So when it happened, when Jesus entered, only and only once, there's a hint. Right in verse 12, it says, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. So it should definitely be after the cross. Let's open John, verse 20. We know last chapters of each gospel account is the last days of Jesus' earthly ministry. So John 20 is the last part of Jesus' earthly ministry. And we are going to read right after his resurrection. John 20, 15 to 17. John 20, 15 to 17. Jesus said unto her, she is Mary, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascended unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. It's in the first part of verse 17. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. So Jesus told Mary, do not touch me because I didn't go to Father yet. But go tell my brethren that I will go to Father. So see, it says, touch me not. Within the same chapter, now let's read verse 18. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. Verse 19. Then the same day, not tomorrow, not the next day, the same day. When Jesus resurrected, it was Sunday, the first day of the week. So the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. So touch me not, versus he showed them. Now, the question is, could Hebrews 9:11-12 possibly take place right here between touch me not and here it is my wounds, come and see, within the same day when he resurrected early morning? He told Mary, touch me not, because I didn't go to Father yet, but go tell my brethren that I'm going to my Father and your Father and my God and your God. And then when he came back the evening, he met with his brethren. Could possibly this be? I think so. I believe this is the case. But why we are reading this today, the reason is to learn more about how he saved us. We know about his death on the cross for our sins. We know about the burial. And we know about the resurrection according to the scriptures. But there is one more piece that we need to know, and that is he took his blood to the heavenly tabernacle, and he offered his own blood to save us. We know that he did it all. He finished. So how we are saved? We have a high priest. Let's open Hebrews 9 again. It's good to keep John 20 and turn to Hebrews 9, because we are going to go back and forth many, many times. So, good for us. Hebrews 9. Let's read 9 and 11 one more time. But Christ being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle. This is not the tabernacle that Moses made. The tabernacle Moses made was made according to the pattern that God showed Moses of this tabernacle that nobody could enter. This tabernacle wasn't ordered or organized by Jews, not at all. So Jesus didn't wait for anyone's permission to get to that tabernacle. He is the only one who could enter that tabernacle. He, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Eternal redemption. It's impossible for a human to do this, and this cannot be a salvation if it was by a blood of goats or calves or any other animal. It should be with pure blood that wasn't under damnation of sin. And there is only one person who could do that, not by force. He decided. And Jesus is the only person, and he decided to save us. Hebrews 9, let's read verse 22 to 24. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these. Wow. But the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. So beautiful. I have a good news. This world is temporary. I have a lot of problems, and I have no solutions for many of them, but we have hope. This is temporary here. There is a perfect place for us to live forever, to live our eternal life up there. And Jesus entered to the holy place up there once for us. Now we are able to think about that, because that is our hope. Let's open Hebrews 8, verse 5. Who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount. When I read Old Testament, the first five books, there is a lot of things that doesn't make any sense for me. Why God told Moses that you have to do sacrifices this way or that way. It doesn't make any sense for me. But it will all make sense one day when we see the heavenly bodies up there, that God ordered everything and organized everything. And when we see how it is, probably we will know it all like this. But there is only one thing we should know, that God knows it all, and He made everything perfect. And if this world is not perfect, it's because of us. It's because of the sin that we have in us. One day, we will see not the pattern of it, but the real thing up there. Moses received the order to make everything the way God showed him and told him. So if there is many questions about Old Testament sacrifices, one day we will know it all, the reasons and everything. But for now, we only should trust Jesus, that He saved us, and one day we will see everything up there. Let's go back to John 20. In my early Christian life, I had a question that if I'm saved, why God doesn't allow me to see everything up there right now? Because I want to see it all. But later on, I learned why. There's a reason we are here. First, I have to walk not by sight, but by faith. I have to learn that more and more and deeper. In John 20, Jesus told Thomas the same thing. Let's read verses 24. See what Thomas was struggling with, that sometimes I struggle with, the same thing. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, I'm not sure even, Didymus, okay, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Wow, powerful. I will not believe. This is just someone stubborn like me. I'm familiar with these words. I will not believe, only if I see it, then I believe. Verse 26, and after 8 days, again his disciples, this is right next week after the first week of resurrection. This is the second week of our New Testament. Wow. And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Praise God. Praise God that we are found in John 20, 29. Because we haven't seen Jesus, but we have believed that he is real, he is alive, he saved us. And he entered the heavenly tabernacle once with his own blood. In verse 30, it says, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. Why? Verse 31. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Let's open Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. There is no seeing in Romans 10:17. If I can't see Jesus with my eyes, it doesn't mean I can't see his works in my life. If I can't see the heavenly tabernacle, and in 2026, not even earthly tabernacle, it doesn't mean that doesn't exist. If I cannot understand many things about how God operates and why he does things this way or that way, it doesn't mean that he's not perfect. One day, we will know everything, and we will see a lot of good things with our own eyes. But until that day, we must live by faith. Many things in life makes no sense. Like for me, I have a lot of questions and I have not many answers. But God knows it all. This is beautiful. This is a good life that he is telling us, trust me. Don't need to see everything. Just trust me. This is the reason that we call Christian life daily walk with God. Daily walk. It's not running. We don't see the end. We can just see so much. Just a couple meter. That's it. And it is enough for us because I cannot even... My brain, I'm pretty sure it's not designed to learn everything. I have just so little of knowledge about everything in my life. And I have a lot of questions. But I'm sure God knows everything and He will show us everything one day. But so far, the only formula God gave us is trust me and listen to me and hear my word. Hear my word. Basically, if I want to show you how Christian life is, it's like this. It's like this. Hello, God. I can hear you now. Hello. Yes. God talks to us right here. This is His voice, and we can hear Him. And we can talk to Him. It's not a radio. We can talk to Him also, and He will listen. How? If we pray in His Son's name, Jesus. So it's a relationship. It's not hard. It's not complicated. It's simple. Christian life is simple. Maybe I make it complicated sometimes, but it's not complicated in Bible. Hello, God, I can hear you, and I can talk to you in Jesus' name. Jesus entered to that heavenly tabernacle with His own blood to save us. He didn't enter just for any other reason. There was only one reason for Him. He loved us so much to die for us. He was buried. And He resurrected the third day according to the scriptures. And He took His blood to the heavenly tabernacle. So there was only one reason for Him to do that. He loved us so much. We are living because of His grace. The most important question for every human being is, are you saved? I check that every day. I'm not getting saved every day. I got saved once, but I check that every day. I ask that question just to make sure. It's a good thing. If Jesus asked me when I see Him, why should I allow you, Yasin, to enter to my presence and to my heaven that I created perfect? What would be my answer? Jesus, because I did so many good things, because I was a good person in my life, or because I was so handsome, right? Just like, what? Yeah. What would be my answer? None of those answers were right, especially the last one. Not right at all. So, I'm not a good person. I cannot be a good person. I'm incapable of being perfect. The only and only acceptable answer is, Jesus, because You died for me. I heard that gospel message and I said yes, and I received it in my heart because You died for me and You saved me and You paid the penalty of my sin. That is the only acceptable answer. So it's because of Him, not because of anything in my life. He entered that tabernacle so I can get saved. Am I saved? That is the most important question if we can still breathe. God gave us breathing, lungs, heart to beat, brain to think, ears to hear, to get all those information, not as head knowledge, but to process, think about it, and receive it in heart. Am I saved? And if I'm saved, I cannot lose that because it says eternal life. So now it's time to live for him. He entered that heavenly place once for us. And now we are invited to heaven. When I'm going to be there, I don't know. I'm praying that even tonight. But whenever he wants, he will take us up there. He knows it all. But until that moment, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let's pray.